All right. So, I want to thank the children for being in our service today. And hopefully this will not be a new experience. And when I say children, I don't mean like 10 and under. I mean all children, right? Because you have parents, and so you are a child. I'm a child of my parents. And so, welcome here. And so what I want to do today is I'm going to take one verse. That's it. I'm going to take one verse and then repeat it three times, emphasizing three different words. And so what we've been saying, that we've been doing, is we are making observations, but children don't understand that word, right? So I'm going to use a different word, discoveries. Okay, so I'm going to say one sentence, and I'm going to emphasize different words each time, and then I'm going to tell you three discoveries that I have made, okay, about parents from that sentence. So today I had a choice. Since it's Father's Day, do I address the fathers, right? Do I speak to the fathers, hoping that they will do a better job, right? Raising up the children, which I'm sure the children would love. Or do I address the children, hoping that they will honor their parents better? And so I decided to go with the second one. So I'm going to address actually all children, not just little children, all children so that they will be better, hopefully, honor their fathers. Okay, or parents, all right? So a sentence goes like this from the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the sentence. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this was written by a guy named Paul, okay? And he wrote a letter to the place called Rome. And so these people, not Rome, I'm sorry, Ephesus, a city called Ephesus, and these people are reading Paul's letter in a worship service just like this. And so Paul says, knowing that there will be children inside the worship service, he says, children, listen to me. I want you to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so the first observation, or discoveries, I'm sorry, that I want to make from this verse is that children are expected to worship together with parents. Bummer. Ugh, it's so boring. But the Bible says right here, children, right? He's addressing children, obey your parents. That means children are expected to worship together with parents. Now, of course, the word children here could refer to people of any age who are still under the authority of their parents. So it could be a 5-year-old child, or it could be a 15-year-old child. Could well be a 25-year-old child or a 46-year-old child, because I'm still a child to my parents, right? But really, this is referring mainly to those people who are still under the authority of their parents. So it's probably not referring to 25-year-olds or 35-year-olds, because hopefully by then you're independent and, you know, you're not living off of your parents' basement and so on, right? Okay, so we're talking mainly about children and teens here, okay? So again, we decided that once a month we're going to have our children under the age of 11 join us in our worship, so that for the purpose of having them see us, the parents, worship. Because they're not going to understand really much, right, at this point. But they understand what they see. They understand the impressions that they get as they see their parents worship. And I think that's an invaluable impression that we can leave in our children's lives. I remember when I was about 10 years old or so, maybe Santa's age, my mom told me that she's going to an all-night prayer meeting at a church. I was still in Korea, South Korea, right? And I didn't know what this was, but I mean, she told me that she's going to an all-night prayer meeting at church. And it was about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night, right? And I was kind of incredulous. I mean, will they really stay up all night and pray? Who does that? Right? But church was only a couple blocks away, and in Korea, South Korea, you walk everywhere. And so my brother and I, at 10:30 at night, decided that we're going to venture out and go to the church to see whether she was really going to pray, or whether she was telling that to us so that she can just play with her, you know, with her friends. All right? So we ventured out, we went to the church, and then church had a big, you know, window that we can look through, and sure enough, I saw my mom sitting right there in rows with a bunch of other ladies, bowing her head, and she was praying. And that left an impression in my heart, even though I was maybe 10 years old, right? Wow, my mom, right, left both of us at home, but went to a prayer meeting, probably praying for what? probably praying for myself and my brother, right? She takes God very seriously, in other words. I did not understand much about God, but I did understand that God mattered to my mom, and Christ mattered to her, and prayer mattered to her. And I think it was that kind of prayer that left such an impression that I could not get away from it, that eventually I gave my life to Christ, even though I had a tumultuous teenage years, but came back to the Lord, and lo and behold, right, became what she probably didn't pray for me to be, become a pastor, right? I don't think it's like, oh, that's too much, you know, like Christian engineer, that's fine, but pastor, too much, but I'm sorry. Well, here I am, okay? So your fault, Mom. Pray too much. All right, anyway. And so I say all of that to say that our children watching us, right, worship, that's really important. And just for that sake, you know, we want them to get a taste of what it's like for you to worship and for them to witness, wow, when I grow up, I can see myself doing that, worshiping God. There's something about spirituality. There's something about God, right? Something about this man named Jesus, even though they may not understand all there is to know at this point, all right? And then, from the beginning of our church, we decided that teenagers will not have their own separate service. And that is by design. Well, at first, we didn't have any teenagers, and so, of course, we're not going to have a separate service for them. But even if we did, and we were counting on the fact that we are going to have some teenagers, and thank goodness that we do, that we decided even if we do, we're not going to have a separate service for them. Because a lot of churches nowadays, the trend is, right, to have a youth service only, have a young adult service only on Sundays. That happens usually at the same time as adult services. Now, it makes perfect sense if you want to keep the young people, right, coming, because you get to target a specific age group, right? Imagine if this was a youth church, 7th grade to maybe 12th grade, or were, you know, or better, right, junior high, right, ministry. And so if you're a pastor, young pastor, right, some 21-year-old with, you know, full of hair and all of that, so I'm still envious about, and, you know, you get to have a youth ministry just to yourself, and you can speak directly to their issues. Your message can be relevant, and your message can be helpful, right? And certainly that's what you want to do if you want to grow your church, because young people are attracted by what? Other young people. And so when they see a whole bunch of other people sitting around that are just about the same age and going through the same issues, and, well, that's a church for me. I feel like right in there, right? I feel like I'm a good fit, so I'm going to go there, and you can grow the church. But I disagree with that model, because I've done it for a number of years that way, and finally it dawned on me that there's a greater negative that cannot be overcome by the positive, and that is this. And that is, it goes directly against what the church is to be. The church is more about the body, about the community, right? Inadvertently, what we did by separating the young people, catering to their needs, and then making it fun, entertaining, right? And then meeting their needs only, right? What we've been telling them is, it's all about you. Church is all about you. We are here to serve you, right? We'll cut out the boring adult stuff, right? We'll hire a youth pastor, young guy who's all fun and games, right? Stick him in there, and then we're going to make it fun, entertaining. Come, let's grow the church. Now, what happens when they graduate out of a church like that? They go out, and guess what they will do? They will look for a church exactly like that youth ministry that they came out of. They can't find it. You know why? Because there is no church that will meet just their needs, right? I want people that look like me, that talk like me, same ethnicity, same age group, and they can't find it anywhere. And so they, well, if that's the church, then I'm just going to be by myself, listening to online messages, and just have a couple friends and be a Christian that way. In other words, we have taught them to be self-centered inadvertently, right? The church is all about them. We don't want that, right? That's why we have decided that even though they may find it boring and not relevant, yada, yada, right, that we're going to have them come and start a new trend where they will understand that church is bigger than just them, right? They're little children. They're adults. Boring ones, right? Or weird ones. But they're my family. They're like my grandpa, grandma, mom, dad. That's how a church is to be. And that's a church that we strive to be. So, discovery number one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So, children, teens are expected to be in the service with the rest of the body of Christ. Okay, from the beginning again, our vision, our mission is very simple. Hey, we are diverse, not only ethnically, but we are diverse generationally, which might actually be more difficult. Right? Imagine just, again, different generations of people coming together. And hey, papa, dada, mommy, daughter, right, son, sister, I think that's more beautiful. When the world sees us, that's more beautiful than just this field, you know, this place filled with just one group of people. Wouldn't you agree? Right? That's more beautiful in God's eyes. All right, second one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, so the first one, children, you guys ought to be included in our worship. But the second one says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey. Discovery number two. This is a command, not a suggestion. Okay, obey. Oh, we don't like that word, but it's there. This is a command, okay, not a suggestion. Now, Paul, the guy who wrote the letter, knew that this needed to be said, teenagers, because children's natural tendency is to follow their own sense of right and wrong rather than their parents' wishes, right? But there comes a moment in our lives, I think, to all of us, I don't know if it's come for my daughters yet, probably not yet, but there comes a moment in our lives, right? Something hits, and a conflict between us and our parents, right? And then we start thinking, you know what? I think I'm at a point where I know more than my parents. I disagree with what she said. I disagree with how he's handling this issue. I think if he did it this way, then it will be better for me, and that will be wiser, right? And so the thought goes, as long as I agree with what she tells me to do, I'll obey. But the things that I disagree with, that I don't see eye to eye, that I think my mom is wrong about, I'll do it my way. Tell me, all children, right, of all ages, is that obedience? Obedience is no obedience if you only do it when you agree. Right? Obedience, when you only agree and so you do it that way, is no obedience. It's simply an agreement. You know what true obedience is? True obedience is, I don't agree with that, right? I don't see that. But you are my mom, you are my dad, you are wiser, you love me, and so I believe your judgment is better than mine, so I will go your way rather than my way, because I trust your judgment more than I trust my judgment, and so you do it that way. That's obedience, right? Because you have a different feeling about that, but you trust your parents' judgment more than you trust your own. And so that is obedience in true sense of the word. Listen, I've been a youth pastor for a number of years, right? More than some of you have been alive. And so I've never had, if you want to stand out, teenagers, right? You want to stand out in a good way, do this. Okay, please, like, surprise me or surprise one of the pastors. I've never had anybody, any teenager come up to me and do this. Pastor, I just don't see eye to eye with my mom, right? She's telling me to do something and I can't see. I don't agree. However, she's lived longer than me and she believes in God. And so I believe her judgment is better than mine. And so I decided that I'm going to go her way rather than my way. Never in 17 years of my youth ministry. You know what it always is? Pastor, can you talk to my mom? Because she's just being unreasonable. She's just old and she's boring and she doesn't want me to have any fun, right? I mean, you see my point, right? I mean, why can't I go out in the middle of the night with a boy, right? And he goes to church, right? And he's going to bring me home like before 12 and you're 13 years old. Right? What's wrong with my mom? Does she not trust me? Right? That's how it always goes. It's never, I disagree, but I think my mom is probably has a better judgment than I do, and so I'll go with her rather than myself. Never. So, buck the trend. Do that with your parents one time. But let's do this, okay? Let me pull out my engineering hat. Right? If you think your parents are just old and boring and there are a bunch of things that you wouldn't do if you were in their shoes, let's consider some facts here. All right?
when you disagree with your parents, teens. They have been your age, but you have never been their age. So it's reasonable to assume that they know more than you. Is that reasonable? Yeah? Okay, grant that to me, all right? Number two, they've lived long enough to have experienced the consequences of the choices you're about to make, but you have not lived long enough to experience the consequences of the choices that you're about to make. They've lived long enough, seen the consequences, but you haven't, right? Is that true? Yeah, that's true. And number three, clincher here. If you came from your parents, chances are that you're not that much smarter than your parents. So if you think your parents are dumb, you came from them. Okay? All right. Does it make sense? I mean, you know, just don't think about your own parent, okay? Don't think about your own conflict right now so that you'll be biased one way or the other, but let's just think logically through. Are these true? Yeah, these things are true. But all my friends agree with me that my parents are being unreasonable. All my friends, yeah, all your 15-year-old friends that have zero life experience, right? So zero plus zero plus zero, as far as I know math, is still zero. So no life, that doesn't help that you bring in all your friends' experiences, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about myself. Things that used to annoy me about my parents when I was about 17 or so, okay? I used to literally think this about my parents. Why do I need to tell you, Mom? I'm thinking in my head. I didn't say this out loud, okay? Smart enough not to say it out loud. Why do I need to tell you, Mom, where I am and what time I'm coming back at night? I am with my Christian friends, church friends. They're good people. I've never done anything wrong before you, right? So don't you trust me? I know where I am at all times. I'm never lost, right? You just don't know where I am. I haven't just told you, but can't you just trust me and stop nagging me and bothering me to tell you, like, where I am at all times? I'll come home when I come home. Right? It just used to drive me up the walls. Well, your parents have lived a little longer, and they've seen people get struck by drunk drivers and die. You probably haven't. They have. Or get abducted and have bad things happen to them. You probably haven't. They have. Right? They understand that this world is not that innocent. But you don't yet, because you are innocent. So give them that. Right? Give them that break. You may live a little longer, right, if you were to listen to your parents. And that's literally what the Bible says. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. It's very practical. If you listen to your parents, you will probably live a little bit longer than those, you know, people that don't listen to their parents. Right? So, third one, let's move on. So discovery number two is that this is a command and not a suggestion. So discovery number three, there is authority beyond our parents, because it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I'm emphasizing in the Lord, for this is right. So there is authority beyond our parents, which is the Lord. You can interpret this as to the Lord. Okay? Obey your parents as you do unto the Lord. All right? The Bible says that we are to do everything that we do as if we are doing it unto the Lord. You're working for an evil boss, right? Because all bosses are evil, right? Pretty much. And so when you're working for that boss, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Whether you eat, drink, right? You are to do it as unto the Lord. So when you obey your parents, it's the same concept. You are to do it as you do it unto the Lord. Does that mean that your parents have to be Christians? Of course not, because you're really doing it unto the Lord and not necessarily to your parents. Right? So it doesn't, you can't undo this just because, well, my parents aren't believing and they're, you know, so I don't need to listen to them. No. Right? That's a moot point. You're doing it as unto the Lord, unto your parents. So this is really an extension of, again, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not to men. And so you have an unbelieving and maybe ungodly, unreasonable. There are parents that are like that. Right? Probably not yours, but there are parents. I've seen them. Still, you are to honor them. And you are to obey everything, right, that is reasonable that the Lord has spoken. Now, if what they tell you to do directly goes against what God said, then, of course, you listen to God. That's what it means by there is an authority beyond your parents' authority, right? That is God's authority. So you have to listen to them and not your parents. So if they, because you're a math genius and they want you to fudge a little bit on their tax return and they want you to do, you know, whatever underhanded thing, then you have to say, no, mom, that's wrong. That's cheating the system. I won't do that, right? So you have to do that, right? You have to call on your mom or dad, you know, in a loving and gentle way. However, even so, there's a caveat, because I've seen so many young people, right, and I myself have done it, use the fact that their parents are not believing, or we think they're just not godly, right? So I'm going to do it my way. They're just making up excuses to do it their way, because, because in their eyes, their parents are just not making the godly choice in that matter that we really care about. Let me give you an example. Again, I became a Christian when I was 17 years old, right? And I guess you can say I was on fire for God or girl or what have you. I was on fire for something, all right? And so I had an idea that I want to have an all-night prayer meeting at church, 17 years old. Okay, I want to have an all-night prayer meeting at, this was in Virginia, a long time ago, all right? My first church. And there were some girls there too, and so I really wanted them to come, right? All-night prayer, wow, awesome, right? And so I didn't talk to anybody except the pastor, senior pastor there. He was an old guy, like 60-some years old. I'm sorry if you're 60-some, you're not that old, all right? But it seemed old, okay, to a 17-year-old guy. But anyway, so I asked him, right? I'm thinking, wow, young person, you want to come and bring your friends and have an all-night prayer meeting? Yeah, go, right? But he said no, right? Can I have an all-night prayer meeting with my friends, right? He said no. I couldn't understand it. Why would he say no? Why wouldn't he want teenagers to come to his church and have an all-night prayer meeting, right? I started thinking, man, my respect just dropped, right? And I started thinking, is he even a Christian? Right? Because, like, why wouldn't anybody want people to come and pray all night, right, for the good of his church? Fast forward 15 years. I became a pastor, right? Literally, a young person came up to me and suggested the exact same idea to me, right? Pastor Hong, I think some of my friends want to get together at church, and can we just stay at church after Friday night and have an all-night prayer meeting? Guess what I said? No. I'm a Christian. I love God, and I love the young people. Right? I know their judgments better than they know their own judgments. Right? But Pastor Wong, don't you trust them? I don't. But here's the thing. I wouldn't trust myself in the situations that sometimes they put themselves in, right? So for their sake, I would say no. But as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, I couldn't see it. Unbeliever, antichrist, right? Our pastor, who doesn't want a prayer meeting, all-night prayer meeting. It's just wisdom, okay? So let me land this plane. Children, teens, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is proper and right. Not only when you agree with them, but especially when you disagree with them. And of course, in the Lord. Honor them as you want to be honored one day. It's real quick, right? Between the time that you're a teenager to the time that you're a mom or dad. Honor them as you want to be honored. And let your honoring your parents be so different from your peers, that your peers will ask you, what's up with you and your mom? What's up with you and your dad? Why are you listening to them? Why are you giving them so much credence, right? Why do you trust them so much? Don't you trust us? That'll be weird to them. And they'll want to know what's in us. And that could be your opportunity to share with them why that is so, because you have an authority beyond just your parental authority. Your allegiance to God, and showing the world what obedience to Christ looks like through your obedience to your parents. Let's pray.